Good morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I have the blessing of serving as a lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. Whether you're worshiping with us here in the sanctuary or you are joining us online, I want to welcome you on behalf of all who are helping to lead today's service. We're glad that you're here, and may this time of worship draw us closer to God and closer to one another. As we begin our time together, we're going to highlight a few announcements from within the church this morning. All of these are opportunities to join the church in its mission and its life of helping to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And so to begin with, I'm going to hand things off to Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our Director of Music Ministries.
Good morning, church. It is my privilege and honor to, for the very last time, invite you to tonight's Next Generation Music Concert Series concert. It is tonight at 7 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. It is free. And you will be coming to listen to the opera group known as the Second Act Opera Company. This is a group out of Grand Rapids. The folks that are coming are professional opera singers. These folks travel, they do Broadway, they do opera, they have been on stages all over the place. So this is really not something you want to miss. They are going to be giving us opera favorites, so you're not going to hear a full production of an opera, like a one story. You're going to hear a lot of different things. So I invite you to come to that and enjoy our last concert of this series, which is the second Sunday of August, where we will be hosting Brenda Portman, an organist from Ohio. So please come and join us. Invite your neighbors and your family and friends. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. So excellent opportunity this evening to enjoy some opera. Next, I'm going to hand things off to Denise Link. Denise is a member of our missions team and also the team leader of our worship team, and she has announcements on behalf of both.
Denise. Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning, everybody. The mission team is going to be going over to Saginaw on August 1st to what is now called the Rescue Ministries of Mid-Michigan. It used to be the Saginaw Rescue Mission. We have a day of volunteering from 9 until 1, and we're going to be, I guess, working in the clothing room, sorting clothing, and serving lunch to the residents there. So if you're interested in helping with that, you can contact me and or Fritz Hyde, either one. We'll be departing here at the church probably 8 to 8:15 and returning after we're done at 1. If you want to participate in a different way, they are asking if we would like to bring some items that they need, and those can be donated. There will be a basket out by the office area, and the things they're asking for are full-size toiletry items. They don't take little hotel-sized things, women's pajamas, and canned goods. So if you'd like to contribute in that way, we would be very happy to take those things over with us when we go. Second announcement. Why did the ice cream truck break down? Because it had a rocky road.
Oh.
Why do ice cream cones always carry an umbrella? In case it sprinkles. Okay, one more. Where do ice cream makers learn their trade? In Sunday school.
Oh.
D-A-E. So next Sunday, the worship team is hosting an old-fashioned ice cream social. It's July 20th, and it's from 2 to 4 p.m. Weather permitting, it will be out by the pool. We had one last year. It was well attended, and I think everyone enjoyed it. So next Sunday, 2 to 4, come and have some ice cream and some good conversation with our church members. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Excellent opportunities for fellowship and engaging in the mission work of the church, and so we lift that before you this morning. Of course, there is much more that is happening within the life of the church. Encourage you to open your email box and to go through the church's weekly e-blast. If you aren't yet receiving those, invite you to reach out to the church office. We would be happy to add you to the distribution list. But with all of this, our friend Natalie will gather us back together this morning after a brief time of greeting.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame.
Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Please remain standing as we sing our opening hymn. Faith, whole trees are still in blossom in the United Methodist Hymnal on page 508.
You may be seated. At this time, I'm going to invite forward Brad Barr, who serves as the vice chair of our Strategic Leadership Council, to come forward with Pastor Bethany and I to share in our celebration of appointments. You might wonder, what is a celebration of appointments? Is this something we do right before we head to the doctor's or another appointment, or what is it we're doing here this morning? Here in the church, a celebration of appointments is an opportunity to celebrate and to commit ourselves as a church, as a congregation, and pastors to walk alongside one another in doing the ministry of the mission of the church and living out the life together as one. And so we take this time to commit ourselves to this work for the coming year. And as United Methodists, it's also a reminder that while we strive for appointments that last over a span of years that allow for continuity and effectiveness in the life of the church, it's also a reminder that appointments are set 1 year at a time. And so today we take time to celebrate our appointments of Pastor Bethany and myself back to Midland First for another year. I am glad that that is warmly received.
Me too.
So for this celebration, your responses will appear on the screen in front of you. Also, if you wish, you might want to to turn to page 463 in your hymnal. For the end of this, we will sing, "Lord, Speak to Me," verses 1 and 3. Those words of the hymn will also be on the screen in front of you. But Brad, if you'll lead us in this time of celebration.
I absolutely will. Dear friends, today we welcome again Reverend Jeremy Africa and Reverend Bethany Machieski, who have been reappointed to Midland First United Methodist Church to serve as our pastors. We believe that they are well qualified and have prayerfully been appointed by our Bishop David Bard. Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Bethany, you have been sent to live among us as bearers of the Word of God, as ministers of the sacraments, and as sustainers of the love, order, service, and discipleship of the people of God.
Today, I reaffirm this commitment in the presence of this congregation.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, as a people committed to participate in the ministries of the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service, will you, who celebrate their reappointments, support and uphold our pastors in these ministries? Let us pray. Eternal God, strengthen and sustain us in our ministries together, with Jeremy and Bethany as our pastors. Give them and us patience, courage, and wisdom, so to care for one another and challenge one another, that together we may follow Jesus Christ, living together in love, and offering our gifts and talents in your service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.
And let us continue in a spirit of prayer. Lord God, bless the ministries of your church. We thank you for the variety of gifts you have bestowed upon us. Draw us together in one spirit, that each of us may use our differing gifts as members of one body. May your word be proclaimed with faithfulness, and may we be doers of your word, and not hearers only. As we who have died and risen with Christ in baptism, gather at his table and then scatter into the world, may we be one in service to others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to remain seated as we sing our hymn, "Lord, Speak to Me," on page 463 of the hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3. Thank you, Ben.
Congratulations.
And I'll have the children come forward, please. Morning. How you doing? Okay, guys. So in Sunday school, this is our Summer of Psalms. And like all poets, people who write poems, the psalm writers used a smaller number of words to convey some really big ideas. So today in Sunday school, we're finishing up the 23rd Psalm. And so we'll focus on verses 5 and 6. So the 23rd Psalm, it only has about 100 words, just over 100 words. But David really, really clearly and completely describes who God is and what our relationship with God can look like. So this is a really popular psalm, and we spent 3 weeks on it. And many people rely on this psalm when they're having a hard time in their life, or when they have someone they love who's coming to the end of their life on earth. And really, though, the 23rd Psalm is a perfect psalm, a poem, for all of the times in our life. The really happy times and the struggling times, and even everyday, regular old times. For our prayer this morning, we're going to invite all of the people here to read the 23rd Psalm, all 6 verses, and we'll read it together. And we're going to know that even though David wrote this beautiful poem about God and his belief in God, he wrote it a really long time ago, every single word is still true today. And it's true if you're 2 years old or 102 years old. So we're going to read David's psalm together this morning. And then we'll head off to Sunday school. Okay? Can you start it for us, honey?
The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. Even though I walk through the dark valley, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup surely goodness and mercy will follow me all days of my life, and I will dwell in the Lord forever.
Amen. Thank you. All right, let's go to Sunday school.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna pray. Strong just the same.
and all will believe in the power of his name. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. One day he'll come, and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. The past will be in the power of his name. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
Come to a time of offering, and we get to celebrate all of the gifts that God gives us, whether they are tangible or intangible. And so I invite the ushers to come forward, and as they're doing so, I also invite you to sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pew and pass it down to the other end. We love to get to know our neighbors, and we encourage you to do so as well.
In all things, in all ways. born into dancing, closer and closer the kingdom of heaven. Years from now we'll see the fruits our hands have sown. Walk humbly with you, God, in all things, in all ways. Walk humbly with you, God.
God, we do give you thanks for every gift that you have given to us, whether it is tangible or intangible. We thank you for who you are and for the ways you use us. Lord, we pray that you would use these gifts here now to further your kingdom and to bring you honor and glory. We love you, God, and we thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers of grace and peace. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You've had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant and is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Every now and then, I catch myself. I catch myself thinking with what I will call, for our purposes here, my dad brain, or my adult brain. Almost reflexively, this happens whenever my son Andrew has any sort of delusion of grandeur. Being an 11-year-old, oftentimes this entails being the best, or at least being better than me, at something he has never done before. Whether it's dunking a basketball, mastering a video game, or as he hopes to do for the first time on his own this summer, driving a go-kart. Right away, my son has the aspirations of being the best. And that's when I have to push back against every part of me, every part of my logical side, my parental side, my dad brain, to keep from chiming in, Andrew, that's not how it works. That's not how life works. You've got to walk before you run. You've got to learn how to dribble a basketball before you learn how to dunk a basketball. You've got to turn a lap or two before beating your dad on a go-kart track. Depending on how much I'm indulging the dad brain side of my head and heart, I have a difficult time looking past what makes sense. With this, I wonder if the Apostle Paul would argue otherwise. I wonder if Paul might say, those great things you dream about are possible even from the start. I wonder if Paul might say this at least where it comes to the good news. Turning to the book of Colossians, we find a letter written by, or at least attributed to, Paul and his understudy Timothy. This letter addresses God's holy people in Colossae, which is located in what is now modern-day Turkey. And in the opening verses to Colossians, we encounter an assortment of ideas and of images in Paul's opening greeting and prayer to these people. In an interesting analogy, one commentary on this passage compared this myriad of ideas to the individual, quote, the individual items seen through the door of a working clothes dryer. So you might imagine a tumbling of ideas and images as Paul greets these believers in this church. Indeed, following the customary introduction and greeting, Paul turns to prayer and giving thanks. And in doing so, Paul speaks highly of this church. He speaks highly of this group of believers. He speaks highly of their faith in Christ Jesus, speaks highly of their love for all of God's people, which Paul associates with the hope they place in God's eternal promises. So just in this opening volley of prayer and thanksgiving, Paul alludes to their faith, he alludes to their works, and to their hopes. In the midst of this, in the midst of giving thanks, in the midst of assuring them of his prayers, and while offering his praise, Paul introduces a bit of a twist that admittedly I wrestle with, given my dad brain, given my adult brain, that logical side of me. This twist appears twice here, first in verse 6 and then again in verse 10. In verse 6, in pointing to this same good news, in other words, the gospel or the message of God's precepts and ways or the message of God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, Paul says that this same good news that came to you is going out over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the first day you heard it and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Did you catch when the good news took action in their lives? From the first day they heard it. Then in verse 10, Paul goes on to write in sharing his prayers for them, "Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit, all the while." In other words, while your lives are producing every kind of good fruit, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. It is possible that one could do good things, very good things, life-changing things. It is possible that one can produce every kind of good fruit while growing and still learning to know God better and better. I admit the logical side of me struggles with this because of all the empirical data or the hard data that I've accumulated over my lifetime. It's hard for me to fully embrace this reality, to fully get on board with what Paul is saying is not only possible, but is already happening. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. This good news is a dynamic presence. This good news is a good thing. This good news is producing fruit. And yet, it's still easy to be discouraged in the world today, no less in the church. In a 2024 survey by the Pew Research Center, 62% of adults in the United States identify as Christians, as opposed to 78% in 2007. So from 78% to 62% today. In that same year, in 2024, up to 29% of United States adults self-identified as nuns. In other words, those without any religious affiliation. This is up from 17% in the same population in 2009. Again, in 2024, the median age of Christians rose to 55, up from a median age of 46 in 2007. All this points to the church growing smaller, to Christians becoming fewer, and all of us getting older. And yet, even with my adult brain, I can't ignore what Paul wrote in Colossians in verse 6. That this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. That it's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. If we read Paul's greater body of work, or even what he writes here in Colossians, this isn't an argument for disregarding our need to grow in our knowledge of God, to grow in our knowledge of God's word, of God's ways, and of God's precepts. At the same time, I'm reminded of the dynamic nature of the gospel. I'm reminded here by Paul of the power in this same good news, where by God's grace and the Holy Spirit, it is possible. That it is possible to run before one learns how to walk. That it is possible to do good works before you have it all figured out. That it is possible to love all of God's people before we have all the answers. This morning, during our children's time, did you catch what happened? I didn't know it was going to happen. But we had one of our children lead us in reading Psalm 23. Now, I didn't get to see because of kind of obstructed view up here in the pulpit who the child was. And I don't know if Amy had prepared them to do so. But they led the church. And I imagine that somewhere in our congregation, there's a proud parents here. But let me ask you this. Does that child have it all figured out? Does that child know all the nuances of God's grace and presence in their life and in the church and in the community and the world? Does that child have every book in the Bible memorized in order from Old Testament to New Testament? I'm guessing probably not, because I don't have it yet all figured out. And yet, this child led us in worshiping our eternal God. So the question I have for you is this. What is this same good news looking to do in your life? This same good news, from the day you first heard it, has been doing a good thing. And so what good thing is this good news looking to do in your life? What is this same good news looking to do in the church? Indeed, may we even dream what this same good news is looking to do in our community. May it be so. Amen. As we gather together for prayer this morning, draw your attention to our bulletin, wherein we extend our sympathies and prayers to the family of Donald Lee Graham, a member of this congregation, who passed away on May 11th of this year. Details regarding his service this week are in our bulletin today. Invite us to lift up his children, Steve, Cindy, Diane, and Robert, and the rest of Don's family in our prayers in this week to come. Let us pray. God, in this time that you have set aside for us, within the rhythms of your ways, within this Sabbath day, we ask that you would remind each one of us of the first days when we heard this good news. Whether it's news that we were introduced to by our parents, as it brought us to church, dropped us off at Sunday school, or perhaps made us go to youth group. Or perhaps it's a good news a friend or a neighbor, a teacher, a mentor, a coach brought into our lives. Or perhaps there were other circumstances later in life that brought this good news to us. And indeed, O Lord, we pray that you would continue to stir this good news in our life today. Indeed, this good news calls us to know and to love you. This good news calls us to good things, and to share this news with others. Lord, this good news leads us to places we don't yet imagine today. And this good news will guide us through changes to come. Lord, help us make room in our faith and in our lives to sometimes push back on our way of thinking, our way of limiting this good news, and help us to be open to what you are doing in us and through us. Lord, we pray this for one another. We pray this for your kingdom here in Midland and beyond across our nation. We pray this good news for every corner of your world, that together we might proclaim the good that you are doing. Lord, we pray all this together in the very name of the one who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Stand as you are able, and to join us in our closing song, For the Cause. You'll find the words on the screen in front of you. So this morning I found myself appreciative of this same good news. With Brad leading us in our celebration of appointments, I found myself very appreciative of sharing this good news with you and with Pastor Bethany for yet another year. And I wonder where this same good news might take you this week. And so perhaps you have some events, a path in life that are going on, and you might think, you know, this is too small for God to care for this good news to work in. I assure you it's not. Or you might think, what I have is too big. This change ahead, this new season in life ahead, is too big for God to manage on my own, and so I have to do it on my own. I assure you, it's not too big. There's work in our church to do, big and small, none that escapes this same good news. So whether in our lives or in our church, may we look for what this same good news is doing among us. Amen? Amen.